luminous part traced on the sea an immense oval, much elongated, the centre of which condensed a burning heat, whose overpowering brilliancy died out by successive gradations. A general cry arose from the frigate. "Silence!" said the captain. "Up with the helm! Reverse the engines!" The steam was shut off, and the Abraham Lincoln, beating to port, described a semicircle. "Right the helm! Go ahead!" cried the captain. These orders were executed, and the frigate moved rapidly from the burning light. She tried to sheer off, but the supernatural animal approached with a velocity double her own. We gasped for breath. Stupefaction more than fear made us dumb and motionless. The animal gained on us, sporting with the waves. It made the round of the frigate, which was then making 14 knots, and enveloped it with its electric rings like luminous dust. Then it moved away 2 or 3 miles, leaving a phosphorescent track, like those volumes of steam that the express trains leave behind. All at once, from the dark line of the horizon, whither it retired to gain its momentum, the monster rushed suddenly towards the Abraham Lincoln with alarming rapidity, stopped suddenly about 20 feet from the hull, and died out. Not diving under the water, for its brilliancy did not abate, but suddenly, and as if the source of this brilliant emanation was exhausted. Then it reappeared on the other side of the vessel, as if it had turned and slid under the hull. Any moment a collision might have occurred which would have been fatal to us. However, I was astonished at the manoeuvres of the frigate. She fled and did not attack. Towards 2 o'clock in the morning, the burning light reappeared, no less intense, about 5 miles to windward of the Abraham Lincoln. Notwithstanding the distance and the noise of the wind and the sea, one heard distinctly the loud strokes of the animal's tail and even its panting breath. It seemed that, at the moment that the enormous narwhal had come to take breath at the surface of the water, the air was engulfed in its lungs, like the steam of the vast cylinders of a machine of 2,000 horsepower. At 6 o'clock, day began to break, and with the first glimmer of light, the electric light of the narwhal disappeared. At 7 o'clock, the day was sufficiently advanced, but a very thick sea fog obscured our view, and the best spyglasses could not pierce it. This caused disappointment and anger. Some officers were already perched on the mastheads. At 8 o'clock, the fog lay heavily on the waves, and its thick scrolls rose little by little. The horizon grew wider and clearer at the same time. Suddenly, just as on the day before, Ned Land's voice was heard. "The thing itself on the port quarter!" cried the harpooner. What a pursuit! I cannot describe the emotion that vibrated through me. Ned Land kept his post, harpoon in hand. Several times the animal let us gain upon it. "We shall catch it! We shall catch it!" cried the Canadian. But just as he was going to strike, the cetacean stole away with a rapidity that could not be estimated at less than 30 miles an hour. And even during our maximum of speed, it bullied the frigate, going round and round it. A cry of fury broke out from everyone. The forecastle gun was immediately loaded and slewed round, but the shot passed some feet above the cetacean, which was 1/2 mile off. "Another more to the right," cried the commander, "and $5 to whoever will hit that infernal beast." A loud report was heard, with which were mingled the cheers of the crew. The bullet did its work. It hit the animal, but not fatally, and sliding off the rounded surface, was lost in 2 miles' depth of sea. The chase began again, and the captain, leaning towards me, said, "I will pursue that beast till my frigate bursts up." The Canadian went to take his place again under the bowsprit. The narwhal seemed motionless, perhaps tired with its day's work. It slept, letting itself float with the undulation of the waves. Now was a chance of which the captain resolved to take advantage. The frigate approached noiselessly, stopped at 2 cables' length from the animal, and following its track. No one breathed. A deep silence reigned on the bridge. We were not 100 feet from the burning focus, the light of which increased and dazzled our eyes.